Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, or into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we'll end there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his word. And what an important question this is: whom say ye that I am? We'll seek the Lord's face briefly in prayer. Our gracious Father, we recognize today that we need the help of the Lord as we gather here for this time of Bible study. And we pray that the help of the Lord will be given to us. We ask, dear Lord, that thou will take the scriptures of truth and write them on each one of our hearts. And we pray, dear Lord, that the word will come with fresh authority, fresh power to our hearts, that even these truths that we have long held dear, that they will be written on our hearts afresh, that they will gladden our hearts. So do come and grant us help in this season, we pray in our Lord's great name. Amen. Amen. In these classes, we have been looking at various fundamentals of Christian truth, and today I want us to consider the subject of the deity of our Lord Jesus, that Jesus is God. One of the unique aspects of Christianity is the doctrine of the Trinity, that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so central to the teaching of the Trinity is the belief that both the Son and the Holy Spirit are actually God, equal with the Father. And as we focus today on Jesus Christ then as God, we are reminded that this sets Jesus Christ forth as distinct from every other religious leader in history. Jesus Christ was not merely a messenger. He was not merely a prophet. He is God manifest in flesh. And not only does this set forth Christ distinct from every other religious leader, but he is set forth distinct from every other Old Testament hero, every faithful Old Testament figure. Moses did not make any claim to be God. Elijah did not make any claim to be God. John the Baptist did not make any claim to be God. But our Lord Jesus certainly did. The Westminster Confession in chapter 8, paragraph 2, outlines the orthodox position on Christ's person. "The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, being very and eternal God, of one substance and equal with the Father, did, when the fullness of time was come, take upon him man's nature, with all the essential properties and common infirmities thereof, yet without sin, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary of her substance, so that two whole, perfect, and distinct natures, the Godhead and the manhood, were inseparably joined together in one person, without conversion, composition, or confusion." That is, that as Christ is God and man, those two aspects are not mixed to form something different, but he remains God and man distinct, which person is very God and very man. Yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man. And so as Christ made this claim to be God, he was setting forth this great truth that he was man and yet God at the very same time. Modernists and liberals deny Christ's claim, and they may accept that there was Jesus, but they will claim that the Gospels are embellished to bring out this idea of Christ's deity. The cults will deny Christ's being, and they deny that he is the eternal Son of God, and so the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons and others will deny this great truth, but we want to see that it is clearly set forth in the Word of God. And so we want to see, first of all, Christ claimed to be God, and those claims were understood. Christ claimed to be God, and those claims were understood. And so, under this heading, I wanted to draw out that Christ made a definite claim to be God, but then also that that claim was actually understood by his hearers, and they hated it. And these two details, as they're taken together, are a great problem for the Jehovah Witness, because they will say that in the statements that Christ is claiming deity, that he didn't really mean it as we understand it. The problem for them is that the people listening understood them as claims of deity. And if then the crowd had misunderstood, we would expect Christ to have corrected that misunderstanding, but it's clear that they had understood correctly, though they rejected it. John chapter 5 and the verse 17. I will be turning you to quite a number of texts and referring to a number of passages. John chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And so my Father has worked up until now, I work. And the Jews, they understood the Lord was saying more than merely that he was busy. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because in their view he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And so they understood that he was making himself equal with the Father. If he is not God, then that statement would be an impossibility. So a created being is not equal with the Creator. And so if Christ is equal with God, then he is God. John chapter 8, verse 58. John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And he is emphasizing then that Abraham had a commencement. There was a day when Abraham was born. There was a day when Abraham was converted. Before Abraham was, I am. Not merely I was there before Abraham, but I am. I have always been. Verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, why did they take up stones? Because, again, they recognized that this claim that Christ was making was a claim of equality with the Father. John chapter 10, then. John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so again, he's speaking of his hand, the Father's hand, this idea of equality. Verse 30, I and my Father are one, one in essence. Verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And why did they want to stone him? Verse 33, the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And so the Jews understood that Jesus Christ was making this claim of deity. At our Lord's trial, there was great confusion in trying to reach a charge in order to have Christ put to death. And the high priest asked the question in Matthew 26:63, "Tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus said in verse 64, "Thou hast said," in other words, "I am." And he spoke then of his coming again in great power and glory. And what was the response? They accused him of blasphemy. And I go back to the point I made a moment or two ago. If the Jews had misunderstood, surely the Lord would have corrected them. Remember, John the Baptist said, "I am not the Christ." And so he made it abundantly clear there that he was not the Christ. But Christ never said, "I am not God." When Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God," the Lord did not say, "No, Thomas." When the man whose eyes were opened worshipped Christ as God, Jesus did not rebuke him. That's John 9, verse 38. We think of throughout the book of Revelation, the Lamb is worshipped, the Lamb is adored. In none of those places is that worship refused, because, as we've seen here then, Jesus claimed to be God, and those claims were understood. We'll see then, secondly, that Jesus claimed activities and attributes unique to God. And each of these that I mention are a sermon in themselves or a series of sermons, but we're just mentioning them briefly this morning. Jesus is the lawgiver. Jesus is the lawgiver. Remember how he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." I give the commandment. Seven times in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus confirmed he was the lawgiver. Remember how he said, "You have heard in old times that it was said, I say unto you." So, for example, "You have heard say, thou shalt not kill, but I say." And the Lord then was taking that part of the lawgiver. In Isaiah 33:22, it says, "The Lord is our lawgiver. Jehovah is our lawgiver." Christ was taking the part of the Lord. Then Jesus forgives sin. Remember that time when the man that was sick of the palsy was let down through the roof? And the Lord spoke there of two things: about your sin is forgiven, and then take up your bed and walk. And remember then, there was this question, which is easier to say? Your sin is forgiven, or take up your bed and walk. And the Lord there was making this claim that he had forgiven the man's sin. And the issue was raised, who can forgive sins but God only? God only can forgive sin. But Jesus was saying, "I have forgiven your sin." Now, it wasn't merely that Jesus was forgiving the wrong that this man had done to him, because the Lord had never encountered the man before. So if someone wrongs us, we forgive them. But that's not what Christ is saying there. And Christ had forgiven the man all of his sin. Then Jesus came to judge the world, and not merely one or two individuals as a judge, but he came to judge the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 25. "Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." In verse 29, "They shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And then verse 30 speaks of him as a judge. Of course, there are other places that the Lord speaks of the judgment. In verse 22 of that chapter, the Father's committed all judgment unto the Son, because Christ, as the judge of the world, is God. Jesus gives eternal life. We have that set forth in those great words of John 3:16. Who could give eternal life but God? Jesus is able to answer prayer. John chapter 14 and the verse 13. Again, no mere man has the ability, no prophet has the ability to answer prayer. But Christ said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Jesus is able to answer prayer. Jesus is worthy of worship. I've mentioned some of that already. Jesus has all authority. He said, all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. But who can have authority in heaven and in earth except Christ himself? All authority in heaven and earth. Except God, I should say. And so Christ there was saying, I am God. But then we'll come to number three. Jesus' sinlessness was evidence of his deity. And so throughout the Lord's ministry, we see, and throughout his life, of course, we see his absolute purity, his absolute sinlessness. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And he was worthy to be the sacrifice because he was entirely without sin. He was manifested to take away our sins. In him is no sin. 1 John 3 verse 5. But none has ever been like that except Christ. Every mere man is born a sinner. But as we saw last month, Christ's unique birth was a testimony of his deity, that he is God manifest in flesh and therefore sinless. And then, number four, Jesus' power was evidence of his deity. And we think of our Lord's miracles. And we think of his miracles where he demonstrated his a great power over sickness, over nature. And of course, he wasn't the first to do miracles. We read of miracles in association with Moses, the water coming forth from the rock, in relation to the ministry of Elijah and Elisha. There were miracles. And of course, after Christ, the period of the apostles, there were miracles. Christ's miracles were greater in number, and they were greater in the sense of spectacular, and they were greater in the sense that he did them on account of his own power. So in the cases of the prophets and the apostles, yes, there were miracles as God worked through them. Christ worked by his own right. Christ had this power in his miracles, showing forth his deity. I remember how when the sea was calmed, the disciples were amazed. Who is able to do something like this? And we see also Christ's deity in his omniscience. What power was in that? That he knew the very thoughts of the disciples and others. We see his power in his resurrection. Romans 1 verse 4, that Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And Paul is showing us there that the resurrection is one of the great confirmations that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And as I've showed you already, that a title, the Son of God, then is showing he is equal with the Father. He is God. So Christ's deity was set forth in the resurrection. And again, the Lord's resurrection was not the only resurrection in Scripture, but it was unique in that he said, way back in John 2 verse 19, you will destroy this temple, you'll destroy my body, but I will raise it up. I will raise it up by my own power. Today, as we rejoice in this great truth, Jesus Christ is God, we remind ourselves that if Christ is not risen, we are yet in our sin. But praise God, he has risen. I'll just close with a quote from B.B. Warfield. Every Christian has within himself the proof of the transforming power of Christ, and can repeat the blind man's syllogism. That's the blind man in John 9. Why, wherein is the marvel that ye know not whence he is, and yet he opened my eyes. So the blind man was saying, you are telling me all these things that it's impossible that this could be the Messiah, that this could be the Son of God, and yet you're so sure about that, but you can't explain how my eyes have been opened. And what Warfield was saying is that this is the testimony of the Christian, that you deny that Jesus Christ is God, but how do you explain the transformation in my life? How do you transform me? How do you explain all that has taken place as the believer comes to God's word and we see all of these great truths and we see what the Lord has done in us? Truly, he is the Son of God. Truly, he is divine. What think ye of Christ? Whom say ye that I am? And Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And we trust the Lord to bless these thoughts to our hearts. We will bow together, please, in prayer.